But it's always good to be where the Lord's people are gathered to hear the gospel preached. I'm going to bring the message this morning out of Acts chapter 22. Paul is facing a very, very different crowd than what I'm facing this morning. He's facing a mob. Paul is standing, preaching to this group of religious people who are supposed to be believers. They're supposed to be those who believe God. For the most part, they didn't. They were supposed to be the most godly people in town. They were the meanest. I have found out over the years, religion without Christ produces the meanest people you'll ever come across. It will. This morning, I want us to look at Paul's testimony of the grace of God to him in Christ. And you'll notice as we go down through these verses how simply Paul preached the gospel to them. He just told them what God had done for him. You don't have to be a theologian to tell people what the Lord has done for you. You don't have to be. Just tell them what he's done for you. If you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, then just tell them that. When God saves a man or a woman, that person never gets over it. Never. Paul never got over the grace of God to him. As he grew older, he said, I'm the chief of sinners. Chief. That person whom the Lord saves, whom the Lord graciously calls to himself and has mercy on, will never be the same again. Never be the same again. He is a new creation. You know, when God began to create the heavens and the earth and all these things that we have now, it says in Genesis that it was without form and darkness was upon the face of the deep. But when God commanded light to shine, and when God began to create, it's never been the same since, has it? And when God makes a sinner, a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ, that person will never be the same again. Never. That person has the life of God in his soul. He is made a partaker of the divine nature. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So here stands Paul. His heart going out to this mob. That's what it is. It's a mob. If you'll look back over in chapter 21, it says, this is after Paul was in the temple and they ran him out of the temple. It says in verse 31, and as they went about to kill him, to kill Paul, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. When they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating Paul. Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. Here stands Paul on the steps of this palace in chains. They had him chained. And this mob that was listening to him wanted to kill him. You know, I have a very comfortable situation this morning. You have come here to hear the gospel. You've come here because you love the gospel. Paul stood before a crowd that was trying to kill him. But his heart went out to these people, because when he looked at them, you know what he saw? Himself. Paul saw himself standing in that crowd. I was just like you. I was where you were at. And he tells them what the Lord had done for them, hoping the Lord would have mercy on them, just like he had mercy on him. And Paul identifies with his audience. I want to hear someone preach the gospel to me that can identify with me. I want to hear the gospel from a sinner saved by the grace of God. That's what I want. I want to hear the gospel from a man who has tasted that the Lord is gracious. And Paul here, he identifies with this group here. He calls them brethren. He doesn't talk down to them. He calls them brethren. After all they did to him, trying to kill him, he looks them in the face and says, brethren. He says, men, brethren, and fathers. He claimed kinship with them. Grace does not cause us to look down on anyone. If you look down on someone, that's not grace. Grace will not cause you to look down on anyone. Grace causes humility, true humility, not a false humility. But grace causes true humility. Grace causes lowliness of mind. That's what it does. And as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ, we grow in this humility. Paul looks at them and called them brethren. And then he identifies with them. He said, I am a Jew. You go over to Philippians chapter 3, and he tells us, my mother was a Jew, my father was a Jew, I was a Hebrew. He said, I'm a Jew, just like you are. I sat at the feet of Gamaliel, the greatest teacher of that day. Paul said, I was his student. I sat at his feet. And I was zealous toward God, just like you are now. Not according to knowledge, that's what he says over in Romans 10:1, but I was zealous of God just like you are. I can identify with you. I know where you're at. Paul could identify with the crowd he's preaching to. He said, I know, I've been where you are. He was very zealous. Paul was very zealous in keeping the law. Paul, before the grace of God came to him, before the Lord saved him and made him a new creation, Paul really believed he was a good man. He really believed he was a righteous man and that God accepted him on that ground. He believed that. And he was zealous for the law. He said, I persecuted this way unto the death. This way of salvation, this way that gives God the glory, all the glory, this way which is Christ himself, he said, I persecuted it unto the death. He saw the gospel as being contrary to the law of God. Paul says, I hated. This is what he's saying to this crowd. I hated. I despised Jesus Christ as much as you do now. Paul said, I know where you're at. I know. I hated this message of salvation by grace alone, Christ alone. He said, I hated it as much as you do. The gospel that I now preach, I once tried to destroy it. I tell you this, if we can, we will. If God leave us alone, we would destroy it. If we could, we would, if God would leave us alone. But thank God he doesn't leave us alone. Thank God he calls some of us by his grace. Paul knew that he was just like them. He never lost his sense of who and what he was. He never lost it. I am what I am, he said in one place. I am what I am by the grace of God. He didn't say, I am what I am by my instruction, by my teaching, by my upbringing. I am what I am by the grace of God. And he says the high priest, Ananias, he said he knows what I'm talking about. He and the elders know my manner of life. I received letters from them to go to Damascus and to bring men and women to prison, to bust up homes, to try and destroy the name and the gospel of Jesus Christ. I did everything I could possibly do to destroy that name. I was an enemy of the gospel. No one hated him more than I did. And Ananias, the high priest, and the elders know this. I'm not making this up. He said, they know this. I'm not saying this just to get along. I was on my way to Damascus, filled with hatred of the gospel. Now, I'm telling you, here's a man that hated the gospel as much as it could be hated. Here's a man that hated Jesus Christ as much as he could be hated. Despised him. And I was on my way to Damascus, and I was going to do all the hurt and all the pain that I could do to the church that proclaimed that name. I was going to destroy it. And while I was on my journey, and that's when we get in trouble when we're on our journey. But when I was on my journey, suddenly, the Lord does things suddenly, doesn't he? Suddenly, he said, there shone from heaven a great light round about me. Christ stopped Paul, not on his road to Damascus. He stopped Paul on his road to hell. Paul was on his road to hell. That's where he was at. And the Lord said, stop. He said, this is enough. It's enough. Paul was not looking for salvation. I was found of them that sought me not. He was not sick. He thought he had it. Paul believed that he had this thing wrapped up, that he was in no danger. But he completely missed it. Completely missed it. He wasn't looking for salvation. He was not going down to Damascus to inquire about Jesus Christ. He was going to destroy that name, if at all possible. He's going to do it. That's what he was trying to do. He's going to destroy that way that we love, that way that by which God saves sinners. He said, I was going to destroy it. I tell you, this is a picture of every one of us at first. When the Lord saves, mad, insane, going our own way of rebellion, even if it's in a way of so-called righteousness. Paul thought he was doing a righteous thing. He really thought he was doing a righteous thing. He's doing one of the most wicked things that could be done. But this is a picture of us, haters of that way, desiring our own way, until Christ suddenly stops us. When it is time to be born again, there's a time to be born, it says over Ecclesiastes, and a time to die. And Paul, it's time to be born. God let him go and fill up the measure of his rebellion and his ignorance and his own way. But you know what? It was time. It was time for a birth. And it was time for Paul to be born again. It was time for this rebel to be made a child of the King. Suddenly, the Lord stopped us. Paul said, when it pleased God, I heard Henry say this in a message years ago, and I've never forgotten it. He said, when is a man saved? When it pleased God. That's when a man is saved. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by his grace, and revealed his Son in me. Not just to me, in me. Christ was formed in me. That's what he's saying. Suddenly, God stopped me. And that great light that shone round about Paul, Paul said, there was a great light that shone round about me above the brightness of the sun. And this was at noon. That great light that shone round about him was Christ. Who is the light? He is that light. And he's that light that shone round about Paul. He's that light that God commands to shine into the heart when it pleases him to save a sinner. He's that light. And then notice what happened when the Lord suddenly met Paul on his road to hell. Paul said, I fell unto the ground. I fell unto the ground. God must, if we are to be saved, when he saves a sinner, that sinner must be brought down from his high thoughts of himself. You know that no one thought more highly of Paul than Paul. And no one has ever thought more highly of us than us before the grace of God came. Paul said, I fell to the ground. Struck him down. Now Paul's going to learn who he is and who the Lord is. Now he's going to learn something. Now he's going to sit at the feet, not of Gamaliel. Gamaliel didn't teach this. What he's about to learn cannot be learned in a seminary. It cannot be learned in a Bible school. It can only be learned at the feet of Christ. And that's my need of him. You can only learn your need of him and who he is and what you are when he brings you to his feet. That's when you and I will learn of him. And this is a lesson. This is a lifelong lesson. And let me say this. He's the teacher, and he's the lesson. He's the teacher, and he's the lesson. And then he gives Paul revelation here. He says, why persecutest thou me? There in verse 7. Why persecutest thou me? Paul's hatred was toward Christ. To persecute one of God's children, and he lets Paul know this, to persecute one of his children is to persecute him. It is a direct assault on Christ. The church is his body. If you smash my finger, John's going to feel it. If you attack the body of Christ, or if any person attacks the body of Christ, Christ is going to feel it. He said, why persecutest thou me, Paul? That's my body you're touching. That's my body you're trying to destroy. To slander one of God's children is to slander him. And he'll deal with it. And then he gives a revelation of who sin is against. It's against Christ. Paul said, who art thou, Lord? At this point, he didn't know. He didn't know. He was struck down. It was all of a sudden. And he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth. That one. I'm Jesus of Nazareth whom thou persecutest. I'm the one whom you despise. I'm the one that was despised and rejected of men. I'm the one who came into his own and his own received him not. That's who I'm Jesus of Nazareth. He used his name of humiliation because this is the name Paul was trying to stamp out. Paul was not trying to stamp out the name Lord. He's trying to stamp out the name Jesus. That name Jesus of Nazareth, that's the one he wanted to stamp out. That's the carpenter's son. That's not the son of God. That's what they thought. That's what the Jews said. We know who you are. We know who you are. You are the carpenter's son. Well, it's evident they didn't know that. He was not the carpenter's son. He's the son of the living God. That's who he is. And he says, Paul, I'm the one you despised, and I'm the one you persecute. I'm the one who died and is alive forevermore. I am Alpha and Omega. That's who I am. Paul was confronted. Now listen. Paul was confronted by Jesus Christ himself. That's when a man is saved. When the Lord of glory confronts him himself. He was confronted by that way which he was trying to destroy. Until we see our sins to be against him, not just something we do, but it's against him. They will mourn when they look on him whom they pierced. When we see our sins against him, unless we see that, we haven't seen him yet. Not yet. Salvation. Salvation is a revelation of a living person, the Lord Jesus Christ. But not everyone sees that when the gospel's preached. Not everyone hears him when the gospel's preached. You'll notice it says the others heard not the voice. The others didn't hear that voice. Were they deaf? No, they were dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. This group of men that were with him were as dead as he was, but God gave him life. God gave him ears to hear, eyes to see. The others heard not the voice. Only those whom he calls by his grace can hear his voice in the message. He said, "My sheep, hear my voice, and a stranger they'll not follow. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." When I first heard the gospel back 30 years ago or so, somewhere around there, I heard Henry preaching on television. Wasn't looking for it. Went on mom and dad's to eat. I was looking for supper. Wasn't looking for Christ. And I went over there and sat down and I heard the gospel. And I went back to the place that I was attending, told them what I'd heard, and they ran me off. Because they didn't hear. They couldn't hear the voice. I'm not talking about an audible voice, you know that. I'm talking about that voice that speaks to the heart. That voice that calls and draws, and you can't help it. You know why you believe God? Because you can't help it. I can't help but believe you. To say that I don't believe, I'd be lying. Because I believe God. You believe God because you can't help it. And that's what happened to Paul here. You know, the Lord may speak to someone's heart this morning, and the person beside you never know it. Never know it. Never know he's spoken. He spoke to Paul. And notice what a change. What a change grace makes. What a change when God puts grace in the heart. When God creates a new heart. Paul became an obedient servant. And I said, "What shall I do, Lord?" Boy, that's a different tune, isn't it? "What shall I do? I'm at your disposal. I'm your subject. Lord, what would you have me to do?" The scripture says, "Thy people shall be willing." When? In the day of thy power. That's when men and women are willing to come to Christ. When God makes them willing. Christ did not ask Paul if he would accept him as his personal Savior. He didn't ask him that, did he? He didn't ask me that either. He didn't ask you either. He told Paul. You see, he's Lord. Now, if he was just a man like me, he might sit down and we'd talk about this. But he's the Lord. He's the sovereign. You and I are the subjects. We are the servants. And he says, "Paul, this is what you're going to do." Here's what you're going to do. He told Paul where he was going to go and that he would reveal what he was appointed to do. You notice here he said, "And the Lord said unto me," in verse 10, "Arise and go unto Damascus." Go ahead now. Finish out your journey. There's someone there in Damascus I have prepared to speak to you. "And there shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for you to do." this was all set. He's not asking Paul. This is not a conversation going on. He's doing the speaking. Paul shut up and doing the listening. And that's the way it ought to be. Be still and know that I'm God. And then what he says in Psalm 120, be still and know that I'm God. I'll be exalted among the heathens. Be still. So he told Paul what he's going to do. He's the Lord. We are his servants. So Paul went as he was told. But Paul had a problem now. He had a problem that he didn't have before. He couldn't see. And now he knows it. Before he thought he could see, but he didn't know it. He didn't know he was blind. He thought he could see. Now he's blind, he knows it. But now he can really see though. He can see. He's got eyes to see now that he never had before. God had to shut his physical eyes to open his spiritual eyes. And Paul became totally dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. That name, isn't the grace of God something wonderful? Here is a madman trying to destroy the church. People that believe the gospel like you sitting here. Here's a man on his road to Damascus. God had mercy on Paul, and I tell you what, he had mercy on the church that day too by stopping Paul. And then Paul was brought to God's preacher. Paul wasn't saved apart from God's preaching and God's preacher. You know, he heard Stephen preach the gospel. Paul heard the gospel preached through Stephen. And now Ananias is going to speak to him. When God saves a sinner, you're going to find four things present. The Spirit of God, the Word of God, the preacher of God, and the sinner. Those four things are present every time when God pleads to save a sinner. Now here's the preacher, Ananias. Doesn't say a whole lot about him, but it does say this. He's a devout man. God's men, God's ministers are honest men. God does not call crooks and put them in the pulpit. If there's a crook in the pulpit, that's not of God. His men, his preachers are honest men. And the message he preached to Paul was sovereign grace. He said, the God of our fathers, there in verse 12, the God of our fathers, verse 14, hath chosen thee. First thing he preached was election. Now, Paul believed election. He believed the Jews were it. He believed they were it and nobody else. But now he's going to really understand election. That it's not just a choice of a nation, but it's a choice of individuals from all nations. The God of our fathers. And he knew who he was talking about when he said, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob hath chosen thee. Our Lord said this to the disciples, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Let's get the order right. Religion of our day has it backwards, don't they? They got us choosing him, us accepting him, us. No, he chose us. And then here's the purpose of his election. Here's the purpose of his choosing Paul and his choosing all of his children. That thou shouldest know his will. That you should know his revealed will, his redemptive will, that he should know how God could be a just God and a Savior. You know that? You know that? That you know how that God, through the atoning blood and sacrifice and righteousness of Jesus Christ, God can be a just God and have something to do with me. And this is revealed to every one of God's children. And here's the next thing. That you should see that just one. Salvation is knowing and seeing with eyes of faith, but it's knowing and seeing Jesus Christ. That's salvation. Salvation is Him. It's being It's being joined to Him. It's a vital living union with Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Paul knew the letter of the law. I mean, this man was well instructed through the Scriptures. Well instructed. But he didn't know Him. He wouldn't have hated Him so much if he had known Him. He said, if you'd have known who He was, you wouldn't have killed the Lord of glory. If you'd have known Him. Oh, that you should see Him. That you should know Him. And that you should hear His voice. Not just hear about Him and accept the facts. No. That you should hear Him. That He should speak to your heart. Not just hear me standing here, but hear Him. Hear Him. God must speak to the soul. God must speak life to the soul. That you should hear Him. This is why God has chosen you, that you'll know His will, His redemptive will. And that you should hear, that you should see the just one, that you should see and know Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that you should hear His voice. And that you should be His witness. His witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. Every believer has been bought with a price. We are not our own. Takes a while to learn that, doesn't it? Takes a while to get those grave clothes off. But we're not our own. We are His witnesses. Every believer is to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul confessed Him in believer's baptism. Ananias said in verse 16, "And now why tarriest thou?" I'm sure we don't have all written here what Ananias had spoken. But Ananias looks at Paul, and Paul is probably seated listening to Ananias. He said, "Paul, what are you waiting on? Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized as the Lord commanded." This is a command of the Lord. Arise and be baptized. Now we know there's no saving power in baptism. Christ is salvation. Yet I do not believe a person who will not follow the Lord's command to be baptized has yet been saved. I'll tell you why. Because he's still a rebel. He's still a rebel. The Lord said to whosoever believes and is baptized. And to refuse to do that is rebellion. Not that there's any saving power in it, but it's a sure evidence of some evidence of the condition of my heart. And Ananias said, "Paul, arise and listen and be identified." This is what he's saying. Arise and be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ and His people. And so that's what Paul preached to them. Here, standing on these steps, in chains, bleeding, because they'd been beating on him. He preached the grace of God to them. And he says over here in verse 17, and I'll close. And Paul says to this group, he said, "And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And he said, I saw him saying to me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me." Paul told the Lord, the Lord told Paul, he said, "You leave that place because they're not going to believe the message. You can't make them believe it, Paul. You can't do it." You notice what Paul says here. Paul says, here he says, and I said, "Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believe on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him." He said, "Lord, they know who I am. When they hear of my conversion, they're going to listen to me." No, they're not. They didn't listen to him. Why do you think they're going to listen to you? When the God of heaven and earth spoke on earth, they didn't listen to him. Am I more impressive? Paul said, Lord, he said, when they hear about my conversion, they're going to be converted too. No, they're not. I'm going to have to break them. Paul, I'd have to break them just like I broke you. I'd have to break them just like I broke you. Paul had some things to learn. But he says here, the Lord says in verse 21, and he said unto me, Paul says, the Lord spoke to him, and this is the message that made them mad. They listened to Paul. They stood there, Paul spoke to them in the Hebrew tongue, and they listened to him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. I'm going to send the gospel, I'm going to send salvation to the Gentiles. I'm going to reject this group of people. And they gave him audience unto his word. And then after he said this, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it's not fit that he should live. The message of grace will always be an offense to religious lost people, no matter who God sends to preach it. It doesn't matter. It's offensive to the flesh. He said, Paul, you go to the Gentiles. You mean God's going to save some Gentile dogs? You mean he's going to let the dogs in the house? That's what he's talking. You going to let the dogs in the house? I said, we're not going to have that. That's how superior they thought they were to us Gentiles. That's what self-righteousness will do for you. It'll make you look down your... Stand by thyself. Come not near me. I am holier than thou. It's over in Isaiah 64, I believe. That's what self-righteousness... Grace, though. Grace make you say, brethren, whether it's a poor man or a rich man. Grace will enable men to sit down and eat with each other, no matter what station in life or what class in life they're from. Grace will make you do that. Grace will enable you to do that. This man, they talked about Christ, this man receives sinners and he eats with them. And that made those Jews, those religious people, so mad because of the company he kept. Sinners. Well, you know, he could come over to our house and eat. Just think, he could be eating with us and he's eating with sinners. Dogs. But I can sure identify with that woman who said, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I like being a dog. Oh, I'd rather, Lord, make me a dog saved by grace than leave me as a self-righteous hypocrite. I would to God that he'd speak to my heart and your heart this morning in power, and enable us to worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay, Lindsay.